situation, but based on my position. You have an arranged, authorized, legal, accrued, literal, unconditional, everlasting, yeah, my Lord, eternal, official relationship with the King. You are covered.
Welcome to Desperate for Jesus, y'all. It's time to praise the Lord. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Sometimes you have to tell your soul that it's time to praise God. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Yeah.
Sing his praise aloud.
He's a God of promises. Not only Jesus Christ, the promised one, came just like God said he would. After thousands of years, the promised one came. But then when Jesus left, he didn't leave us without a promise. He said he would be coming back. And not only do we have that promise that he left to go prepare a place for us, which is why we live and move on this earth as if we have tomorrow in eternity, because we do. But then he also left his word full of promises. Promises that we can hold on to, that we can know that our God didn't leave us without a helper, without a comforter, without help, that his people who are righteous won't go without bread, that we can be the head and not the tail. All of these promises that are in the Bible. And so he left us with a promise. Eternity is coming. Jesus is coming back. And then he left us with promises. He's a God of covenant and of promise. That's who you serve. That ought to give you a reason to say thank you, God.
Abraham, you're the God of covenant, of faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn when you speak a word. It will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting sun, I will bless and praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. Oh, thank you for your faithfulness. I put my faith in Jesus.
The Bible says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But the reason why we can have faith is because he has already been faithful. Lamentations 3 says his mercies are new every morning. Every morning you get up and you don't have to wonder whether or not the sun is going to shine. And every morning when you get up in your right mind and with breath, there's a reason to say, great is your faithfulness to me. Great
is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting sun, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
Let's do that one more time. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness to me.
Great is. So let's soak in that for a minute. Think about your health, your finances, your relationships, the job you have, the children that you have, the fact that you have Him. If you don't have anything else, you have Him.
Great is your faithfulness. I put my faith in Jesus. My anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me go. I put my faith in Jesus.
Letting you down. Let me just give you that.
He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down.
He may be unseen, but working in your behalf behind the scenes.
He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. Hey, he'll never let me down. He'll never let me down.
All right, I want you to make sure that you take a minute to really let the words that you just sang wash over you for a second. Like, don't let it just roll off your shoulders and move on to the next thing. Take a minute to think about it. Faithfulness. Think about that word. Think about what that means now. After the year you've had, everything that's changed around you, how different all of our circumstances are and the way we move through our reality, everything is so different now. But He has not changed. He's remained faithful. He's steady. You are anchored. I'm anchored. That matters to me. Let me tell you something. Because so many things, because of, you know, the pandemic and all of the issues that we've all faced and that we've all had, so many things have changed, but also just the regular rhythms of life changing. Like, your kids grow up another year, your marriage has survived another year, you've made new friends or different friends, or your reality has shifted because maybe you've lost a loved one. But with all of that, our God remains the same and His promises do not change. That matters to me. It matters to me. I'm grateful for it. Okay, here's what I was thinking about while we were singing through the words of that song. My sister and, okay, I'm just going to get up on this. Hold on.
Hop on up
on the stool. Okay, got it. Okay, my sister and I, we lived for the better part of a decade. We were in the same neighborhood, not just the same neighborhood, but the same piece of land. So we were next door neighbors pretty much. Crystal's house was sort of at the top of an incline and mine was at the bottom. And because we were at the bottom, underneath a cove of trees, we had horrible Wi-Fi reception. We had to really figure it out. We had to rig it. Do you remember that?
I do.
My husband was calling all these companies to find out what antennas we needed to put where to get really good Wi-Fi access. But because my sister was at the top of the incline,
I didn't have a problem.
She had no problems. So I had to go over to her house oftentimes and sit at her kitchen table and sort of just mooch off of your clear access that you had, because where I was positioned at the time, it was too shrouded over. I just didn't have it. And I was thinking about that while we were just worshiping together, that you might be in a position right now in your life because of some stuff, real life stuff that has happened to you. You just feel like you're shrouded over and you feel like you've got shadows, hurt, disappointment, discouragement, frustration. And honestly, maybe you were listening to those songs, but you weren't really singing them with us. You weren't really worshiping with us. Or maybe you were giving the sacrifice of praise, meaning you were singing the words, but your heart honestly was a little bit disengaged because you just feel like you're under a shadow. But the good thing about being connected to people is that sometimes you can just kind of mooch off of what it is they got going on in their life. And then you can just sit with them for a little while. And that you can sort of feed off of what it is that they have access to that you might not in this moment. That's why sisterhood matters. That's what Desperate for Jesus is about. So even if you're on the other side of the screen, just know we're your people, we're your family. We're here for you. And that we want to give you every opportunity, not just through worship, but now in a time of prayer. Even if you don't know the words to pray, we got you. We got you, okay? So for the next few moments, we want to invite you to do what I think is one of the most important things we're going to do for this whole weekend that we're going to be sharing together tonight. And then tomorrow, we got layers upon layers of stuff that we're hoping is going to be a blessing to you. But this is one of those things, and I think it's really the most important. We asked you, many of you already sent in prayer requests. We've got a bunch of them that we're going to be posting here. We tried to just fit as many of them as we could so that you could just see that the many, many needs that are represented by those of us that are gathering together literally from all over the world. And we're going to be praying. We have a whole prayer team. They're going to be praying over these requests. But right now, for just a few moments, we're going to pray together and cover you in prayer. We're going to pray over some specific categories of prayer, but we want you to know that we're going to be covering even requests that might not fit comfortably into one of those categories. It's okay. We got you. We got you. Prayer is the key that God has given us so that we can unlock the resources of heaven and have access to everything He wants to do for us while we're right here on earth. Why wouldn't we take advantage of a key like that? Why wouldn't we use a key like that? So if we did everything else during Desperate for Jesus, sing and give and listen to the word of God, and we do all of those things, but we didn't pray, what a waste it would have been not to use that key, specifically when we're in a unique environment like this, gathered together across lines that might usually divide us, even geographical lines. Now that we're virtual, we're together in a unified way that is really unique, and I believe that God is going to answer these requests in a miraculous way. So we're going to pray together, and we're going to start with a particular category that we find comes up all the time in many different forms and fashion, but it falls under this one request and need, and that is for freedom. Freedom from addiction, freedom from lifestyle choices and habits, freedom from fear, freedom from depression, freedom from any number of things that you can imagine. If there is an area of your life or a loved one, maybe it's your son or daughter or a spouse or a parent, and you find that really what they need is freedom. And by the way, it's not just freedom from negative things. Sometimes we can be enslaved to good gifts that God has given us to enjoy, but now that thing is ruler over us. We can't say no to it. Anything we can't say no to is an idol. And so we can pray for freedom, even from good gifts, so that God would reinstate Himself as the Lord, the ruler of our lives. So we're going to pray for freedom now. If that's you, even if, honey, we know you might still be in your pajamas just watching us laying there in the bed. We see you. Just raise your hand if that's you, okay? Wherever you are right now, raise your hand. We're going to cover you or your loved one in prayer in regards to freedom. My friend Candace is here, and she's going to pray in regards to that. Candace, thank you so much for leading us in prayer. Let's pray.
Father, we first want to thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus.
We thank you that his death bore our freedom and that it came at a great, great cost so that we could walk in true victory and in true freedom, knowing that his death was not in vain, that his death did not just cover us for this life here on earth, but it also covers us for eternity. And for that, we are so, so thankful. We're thankful that we can come to you when we don't know what to say, when we feel trapped, when we feel like we're never going to get to the other side of this thing, when we don't know how to go left or right or forward. Father, we know that you do. And so today we are coming before you, lifting up our sisters, lifting up ourselves, lifting up anyone who may see this who needs you to free them. We know that freedom is already, it's already ours. So we just have to take hold of it, believe you for it. We ask, Father, that you would silence the lies of the enemy. Anything that may be telling us, you'll never get out of this. This is your forever. We say to you, be quiet in the name of Jesus. You have no power. You have no authority. We silence those lies in the name of Jesus and we take hold of your truth. And Father, we ask that you would help us to discern your truth. Sometimes it gets a little hazy when we can't tell what's real, what's not, what's true and what isn't. Father, we ask that your truth would remain true and loudest in our minds and in our spirits. Father, we ask that you would help us to know what it is that you would want us to know, that we belong to you, that we are yours, that we are secure, that we're safe in your hands, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Father, we thank you for Galatians 5:1 that says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Father, we thank you for freedom from addictions. We thank you for freedom from lies. We thank you for freedom from depression, from anxiety. We thank you for freedom from worry. Father, we thank you for freedom from anything that will hinder us from fulfilling the calling that you have for each of our lives. Father, we thank you for freedom from fear. We thank you for freedom from anything that's holding us captive, Father. Those who may feel like they're trapped in a sickness, those who may feel like they're trapped in a situation that they can't get themselves out of, whether it be a relationship that you never wanted them in the first place, whether it be a job that may be stifling them from fulfilling the calling and purpose that you have for their lives. Father, we just ask for complete and total freedom. In a world where I know a lot of people have felt trapped, even in their homes, Father, scared to go to the grocery store, scared to do anything that relates to people, Father, I just pray for freedom, Father, that you would allow them to know that you have them in the palm of their hands. We receive it and we thank you, Father, for it. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Accept me who I am. You love me and know all the overwhelming, never-ending, precious love of God. Oh, it chases me, hides till I'm Receive that in Jesus' name, and walk in the freedom that is rightfully yours. We want to pray now for purpose. What I mean by that is if you're searching for a sense of God's purpose, God's will for your life, you need clarity right now, direction in regards to what's the next step for you, whether it's career or ministry or in relationship, then we want to pray that God will give you clarity. That God, by his precious spirit, will give you a sense of discernment and wisdom and insight so that you can know things that you would not be able to know apart from God's spirit opening up your eyes and ears to hear him clearly. We're going to ask him to shine a light on the next step for you and then to give you enough courage to say yes.
and to go where it is that He is leading you. So if you need a sense of direction right now in your life, or you know this is what your son-in-law, your cousin Nim, your mama, somebody really is asking God for clarity, then pray on their behalf, okay? So just lift your hand wherever you are if this is you, and we got you covered. Marilyn, would you pray for us?
Thank you. Gracious Father, we do come before you. We bow, Lord. Amelie, your daughter's father. We come with our hands raised to you, Father, because we know no other one that we can call upon but you. God, you are God, and you know all things. And these things are according to your purpose, and they are for our good. We want to thank you, first of all, for your son, your precious son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for being willing to let him be a sacrifice on our behalf. Father, we know that we can do nothing on our own, but your word tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, I cry out to God, our Most High God. To you, I ask for understanding, for clarity for each one of these ladies, Father, who are bowed wherever they may be, Father, with their hands lifted up, asking you to reveal to them your will for their life, the purpose that you have for them. We've had a rough year and a half, Lord God, but it's not because you haven't been with us. You have been with us. You have carried us through the season, and you continue to carry us through. So we're just crying out right now, Lord God, for your direction, for your help, for you just allowing us to realize that we do have a purpose, and that purpose is for us to be a success for you, Lord God, to represent you in a world that seems to have turned away from you, Father. So we know that you want us to be a light that shines bright, Father, so that others may see you and draw near to you. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for allowing us to be that light. I come, Lord God, acknowledging that without you, I can do nothing. None of us can do anything. But we know, Father God, that your plan is a plan for us to do good, a plan for us to have a future, and a plan for us to succeed. So, Lord God, as we step away from trying to do things on our own, and as we surrender our will to your will, we just thank you for just revealing to us what our purpose is, what it is that you would have us to do, and that we, as your daughters, will be obedient to that, and that we will surrender ourselves. We love you so much, God, and we thank you so much for loving us unconditionally, although we know that we fall short, but yet you still love us. No matter what we do, you still love us, and we still have an opportunity to serve you with greatness, to serve you with humility, to serve you with love, Father, so that others again can see you. So we thank you, Lord God, for just helping us to walk, to live, and to abide in the purpose that you have for each one of us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Pray for healing. If you need healing in your life in any capacity, I have good news for you. Our God is a healer. That's what He does.
The book of James makes it clear that he not only has the capacity and the power, but he has the willingness to heal according to his sovereign will. So we want to pray for healing in your life. My friend Tisha is coming to pray for this because she has a testimony to tell. Girl, I remember and can point to specific times in your life where God has brought healing in a physical capacity, in an emotional capacity, so many areas of her life and others. We have testimony at our own house, in our own home church. And so we're so excited to pray for you. If you need healing, whether it is something that seems as small as, you know, like the pain, a pain in your knee or the small of your back. Listen, if it's your pain, it's not small, is it? It's a big deal. So if it's a headache today, or if it's something that's far more serious, a diagnosis that a doctor is saying that they really can't do anything else about, we want to pray for you. We believe that God is able, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. We believe that he can. Whether or not he will is his business, but believing that he can is our business. And so even if you're a little low on believing, remember, you can pull up a chair at our table and we're just going to agree with you in faith for what it is that God is going to do in your life. But not just physical healing. Remember that he can mend broken hearts. He can mend fissured, fractured minds. So if you or somebody that you love is in need of healing, body, soul, spirit, we can't wait to join with you in prayer in that regard. Just lift your hand wherever you are and just know that we are reaching back and grabbing hold of your hand in faith, in prayer, and trusting him together. Tisha, can you pray for us?
Yes. Father God, first of all, we just want to say thank you for this opportunity. Father, you are a healer. You are a mender. You are a restorer. And we trust you, Lord. Father, I call on you right now in a special way. It is through your power that we were even created. Every breath that we take, our being, our mental, you are in control of it all, Father. Father, I ask you to touch us. Touch our bodies right now in a miraculous way. There are so many of us who are in need of healing, whether it be mental, emotional, spiritual. We need you, Father. We need your healing power. We need you to breathe life in situations that are dead. We need you to restore loneliness, brokenness, physical anxiety. Father, there are so many of us dealing with unfortunate circumstances, but we know that you can come in and intervene and take over. There are some of us that are dealing with disease right now, whether it be cancer, whether it be lupus. There are so many different things happening right now, Father. There are people dealing with COVID, and we just need to know that you hear us and that you are there. You've already delivered us from so many situations, Father. There are so many testimonies in this room. And that's what we're asking for, another testimony, Father, that you would just intervene and take over. We trust that all it takes is a word from you. All it takes is for you to lay your hand upon a situation and things are restored and made new. So, Father, I've seen your healing power. I've seen you restore my body. I've dealt with cancer. I've been through divorce. You've healed my heart. You've healed my body. And you've healed my mind. And, Father, we know that all we have to do is just come to you trusting and believing, having all faith that you can do it. So, Father, we're coming to you again, asking you to get to the root of it all and mend what has been destroyed. We know that you can restore, and we are trusting and believing. We came together on one accord, Lord, to call on your name because we believe that you have all power. You said, Father, that in all of our ways, if we would acknowledge you, you would direct our paths. Show us if it's a doctor that we need to see, if there's medicine that we need to be using.
Whatever it is that will bring the healing, Father, we're trusting you. I thank you in advance, Father, for the healing, for the restoration, and for the provision, the peace of mind. We love you. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Father. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hope that you received that. Let's sing this incredible song together.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing.
All we need. And I'm so glad that he's given us access to him in prayer. And I hope that you've been blessed. I hope you feel encouraged. I hope that even if the only thing you could say during that whole prayer time was just amen, every time one of those categories closed, that's enough. Listen, that is enough. The Holy Spirit, when we cannot find the words to pray, he prays on our behalf. And you need to know you also have a great high priest. He's seated right now at the right hand of the Father, whispering your name and your request to him. He's got you, and we've got you. I want to tell you that if, as you saw these requests kind of scattered up here, we kind of piled a whole bunch of them in here so that we could get as many as possible. If one of them, maybe a word in one of the lines kept catching your eye throughout this time, take that as your cue to grab hold of that request, write it down somewhere, or type it into your cell phone so that for the next few days, that can be your assignment before the Lord to carry that person, that need, that request up to the Lord in prayer. Let's be accountable to each other in that way and be the body of Christ in that way to lift each other's requests up. Also, the website that you saw across the screen, that is the place where you can go and you can give us your prayer request even today, even right now. We have a team of people that are continuing to look at the requests that come in there so that you can personally know that you have been prayed for, that you are seen, and we want to stand with you in faith, in believing what it is that our God can do. Now, for just a few moments, Crystal, I get to do what I love to do, and that is just share tonight a short word of encouragement and challenge to you from the Word of God. Because listen, this is really what we came for. It's what Desperate for Jesus is all about. I'm glad you're here, but I didn't really come to see you. I came to see the Lord. I came to hear what it is that He's going to say to us. And so grab your Bible or your, you know, your iPhone, your iPad, any manner of iNest that you have available. And we're going to dive into God's Word for just a few moments together so that we can be encouraged around what it is that He wants to say to us. Okay, if you've got your Bible ready, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. I have enjoyed so much reading through 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19 for quite a while now, just exploring some of the happenings in Elijah's narrative. Elijah is
the premier prophet, really, of the Old Testament. And all throughout his narrative, we have these beautiful examples of a great big God moving extravagantly in the life of an ordinary man who is yielded to his will and to his purposes. Right after sort of the main centerpiece of Elijah's story, which you probably know, where he is on Mount Carmel and prays this prayer that rains down, that allows the heavens to open, and fire rains down from heaven. One of the most memorable experiences in all of the Old Testament. On the heels of that, in 1 Kings chapter 18, let's read verse 41 through 45. Now Elijah said to King Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound." Somebody say, "There is a sound."
There is a sound.
Come on, say, "There is a sound."
There is a sound.
There is a sound of a roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab, he went up to eat and drink, but Elijah, he went back up to the top of Mount Carmel. He crouched down on the earth. He put his face between his knees. The implication is that he's praying here. He said to his servant, "Could you go look for me? Look towards the sea." And so the servant went. He looked towards the sea and then he came back and said, "There's nothing." Elijah said, "Come on now, go back and look again." He went back seven times. And it was on the seventh time that the servant finally came back and said, "Behold, I can now see what you see. A cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea." Elijah said, "It's time. Go up and say to the king, 'Prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you.' And in a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was indeed a heavy shower." Now, I've got to tell you something about me. Message preparation is actually very hard for me. And one of the hardest parts is coming up with a title for a message. I'm just not good at it. I don't know why, but it's very difficult for me to come up with something that encapsulates what it is that I want to share. But this time around on this particular passage, as clear as a bell, the title rang out and I want to share it with you. If you're a note taker and you want to write it down, here it is. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear? Here in this little portion of scripture, in full demonstration of his role as the prophet, the voice and declaration of God's truth and God's hand and God's activity among the people, Elijah is the one who starts to fine-tune the king's hearing to hear something that the king was unable to detect and hear with his own natural capacity. He basically said to the most powerful person in all of the land, "I can see something that you can't see. And I can hear something that you cannot hear. And I'm anticipating something, living in light of something that you are not discerning enough to be able to anticipate. Rain is coming. And without as of yet one cloud in the sky as proof, without any meteorological proof at all that rain was coming, without one clap of thunder or a view of lightning in the sky, without anything that would authenticate any understandable level of anticipation, Elijah says to the king, "I can hear something you can't hear." And Elijah took it as his responsibility to tune the hearing of the people that were in his sphere of influence so that they could begin to tune into and detect something that in their natural capacity they were not able to. He did not side with the majority. He did not side with what his physical eyes or physical ears could see and detect. He recognized that in him was the responsibility and the privilege to bring God's perspective to bear in his sphere of influence. "I came to talk to you, modern day Elijah. After all that praying that we just did, and after all that worshiping that we just did together, now your responsibility is going to be, after the weekend we're getting ready to have, that you're supposed to emerge from our weekend. I'm supposed to emerge from our weekend and go back into our family dynamics, our home life dynamics, our relational dynamics, our dynamics on our jobs or in our ministries. And we're the one who are, in the spirit of Elijah, supposed to walk back in and tune people in to what it is that God is doing. Things they can't see and things they can't hear and things the hopelessness of their situation has started to dull in them, a spiritual excitement and enthusiasm for the things of God. That's why every environment needs you. Because you're the one, I'm the ones that are supposed to walk into those environments and say, I can hear something you can't hear. And it's my responsibility to make sure that you know God is still moving. God is still active. The heavens are still going to open up. Rain is still going to come down. I know you've been in a drought for 3 years. I know that it seems like the sky has been shut up over your head. I know that your health has waned. I know that you've gotten bad news. I know that you've lost loved ones. I know that it seems like numbers are still climbing. I know that you're still in a bit of isolation. I understand that your circumstances are difficult, but I came to tell you that I'm tuned into something that allows me to detect the fingerprints and the handiwork of God so that at least the people that are in my sphere of influence don't have to puddle into a pool of despair and hopelessness, not when I'm around, because I came to tell you that God is still moving. He's still active. I'm going to tell you about a time that I took my boys to the movies. This was several years ago, so we went to see this 3D movie. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember my youngest was young enough that he didn't recognize that little package that they gave him with those little, you know, cheap plastic glasses in them was of any importance. So we went inside to watch this 3D movie, and we all sat down together in a row. My older boys had the glasses on. I had the glasses on. We went through the previews. We're snacking on our popcorn and on our drinks, and we're just enjoying ourselves. And we got about 5 or 6 minutes into the actual film, and I got a tap on my shoulder. Jude, my youngest, was 4 years old. He tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, Mom, I do not like this movie. And I said, Buddy, why don't you like this movie? And he said, well, I can't see it. It's just blurry. I don't appreciate the fact that I'm not able to really take in and enjoy this movie because it's just blurry. So through the darkness, I kind of peered down at him and I realized that he didn't have his 3D glasses on. So I said, buddy, did they give you the package coming in? Where's that package? Well, he had to dig down on the floor because he had dropped it, not really paying attention to it. Finally, we found it, ripped open the package. He put the glasses on and he said real loud, I can see. I can see. He didn't realize that the filmmaker had a certain way in mind that this particular film was supposed to be viewed. And unless he viewed it through that perspective, he wouldn't be able to enjoy it fully. He wouldn't be able to see it clearly. He'd have a distorted, skewed impression of what was happening unless he put on what the filmmaker had in mind when he made that particular film. And it took somebody older and wiser with a little maturity who had been through this one or two times before to show him what it was that he needed to put on so that he could see it clearly. There is a perspective with which we as believers are supposed to be viewing this thing, y'all. We're not supposed to see it through the natural lens, through the lens that our coworkers and our neighbors and everybody else are viewing things. High school student and university student, you're supposed to sit in that classroom and hear what it is that the professor is saying and see it and read it and look at it a little bit differently than the perspective of everybody else. You and I are supposed to not only come in with a perspective that is tuned into divine frequency, but recognize it's our responsibility to fit the people around us with clarity so that they can see God's hand and see God's work and know that if all we can detect is a cloud the size of a man's hand, that that's enough for us to get on tiptoe with our chin in our hands in eager anticipation that our God and his activity in our lives is on the way. We are never hopeless. We are never without hope because our God is always moving. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage the one or two or maybe more of us that actually right now you don't hear anything, you don't see anything. You've been sitting in a drought like the children of Israel had for 3 years and it's been one hard thing after the other. Trust me, I know in our own family we have had literally, not in theory, I'm saying, literally, we have had one devastating thing happen in our family after another. All the other things aside, just with our loved ones, we have had 8 losses back to back. It has been devastating suffering these losses back to back. I know how it feels to be in a drought where you feel like the sky of blessing is shut up over your life and you're living in a season of dryness. It feels maybe desolate, lonely, hard, disappointing, frustrating. I know exactly how that feels. And maybe you are listening and participating in Desperate for Jesus, and that's how you feel. You feel like you're just in a drought. We, your sisters, came to tell you that we can hear something you can't hear. We want you to be encouraged to know that the sky is not always going to be shut up like that, that there is a cloud coming that is going to be an indicator to you that the raindrops from heaven are going to continue to fall over your life. In fact, if you'll pay close attention, you'll feel the raindrop of his blessing even right now, because the only reason why you and I are getting to be here right now, participating in this virtually together, is because God has sustained us. He has kept us. He has steadied us and stabilized us. He has brought us to this day. So not only do I want you to be encouraged in that, that if you can't hear it, I want you to know I can hear it. If you can't see it, I came to tell you I can see it on your behalf. That God is on the way to do something tremendous in your life. So I want you to be encouraged, but I also want you to be challenged, because it is irresponsible of us to have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us and not take it as our pleasure, our privilege, and our responsibility to fit the people around us with the perspective of God as they walk into the rhythms of everyday life. It's irresponsible of us to sit with our girlfriends, our friends, our family, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, and allow them to march through life watching all the things that are unfolding on the screen of their life and not say to them, but put this on. See what it is that God says, what God is doing. Here's what the Holy Spirit is whispering to the church. It's our responsibility to speak the promises of God to those who are around us. And so I've got to challenge you, sisters. I was going to say brothers and sisters. There might be a few brave brothers in the house, but sisters, I want to challenge you. What are the words that are coming out of your mouth? Are you saying things that are based on what you can see? Are you explaining and pointing out and accentuating and pointing to all of the barrenness and dryness and hardship and frustration and difficulty around you? Not once do we see Elijah highlighting and pointing out and discussing the details of the dryness that was around him. That wasn't his priority. His priority was to point to what he did see God doing. So I ask you, Do I spend most of our time pointing out all the difficulty, or do we point out what it is that we're beginning to detect God doing in our hearts, in our minds, in our relationship, in our churches, in our communities? The people that are around us, they don't need more bad news. They got that covered. They need somebody who has embedded within them, anchored in the promises of God, and we make it our business to continue to speak God's promises and point people to God's activity as he moves in and around us. This is the spirit of Elijah. He walked around basically saying to people, even the most powerful person in the land, he did not, because he was speaking to the king, quiet or water down the truth of what it was that God was doing. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. So at the top of this chapter, verse 1, God had already told him the time of drought had come to an end and he was about to send rain. That's all Elijah needed to know. He didn't need proof that the rain was coming. He didn't need a massive, ominous overflow of clouds to roll in from afar. He didn't need a meteorological report from people who were around to confirm what God said. Once God said it, that was enough for him. He began to go into every sphere into which he was called, and he proclaimed unashamedly and unreservedly what it was that his God had told him. So I'm asking you, and I'm challenging myself, what are the words that are coming out of your mouth? Are you highlighting and accentuating and supporting all the negative that is around you, all the hardship that is around you, all the difficulty, all the dry ground and the barren skies that everybody else, listen, they already know. They're seeing the same feed you're seeing on their social media. They got it. But what they don't have is somebody that comes around and says to them, but let me tell you, girl, what God said. Let me tell you the promises that are still true for your family, and they're still true for your marriage, and they're still true for your heart, your mind, your finances, your health. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. We came in the spirit of Elijah to make sure you hear something that is connected with what it is that the Spirit of God is saying. This means that we're going to have spiritual discernment. That's what it means. It means that there's going to have to be a deliberate and intentional tuning out of that which is natural and tuning into that which is supernatural. Did you notice that Elijah, while he told the king, listen, go prepare for rain, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He crouched down and he prayed. So as he's waiting for God to manifest what it is that God is going to do, he is constantly tuning his spiritual ears in to hear what it is that God is saying. He's staying connected to God in prayer. This has got to be a matter of our prayer lives, to ask the Lord to help us to continually tune into divine frequencies so that we can have some sort of reference point for how the Spirit of God is convicting us and challenging us and the promises of God that he points out to us, so that we can harbor those words in our heart and then be able to bring them to bear in the spheres of influence in which he sets us. There is nowhere that you are, no neighborhood, no office, no university campus, no high school campus, no courtroom, no doctor's office. There is nowhere that you are by mistake. You are there because you're the one that is coming in the spirit of Elijah to tell who is ever in that office, let me tell you what God said. You're the one who's supposed to be coming and saying, do you hear what I hear? I'm tuned in enough to know that God is speaking, that God is moving, that there is still hope even in this seemingly hopeless situation. I love so much that we see Elijah proclaiming what it is that God says. And I want to challenge you with that. That is literally my challenge. It's the only thing I wanted to tell you. I wanted you to be encouraged, first of all, to know that the Spirit of God is moving, even in the hardship, even in the difficulty. And I want you to also be challenged in knowing that I now have that responsibility to go with us into our spheres of influence and to encourage all of those people who are around us. If God said it, you be the one to proclaim it. The promises of God are in him, yes and amen. Proclaim them everywhere that you go. I do not know the name of this particular species of bird. I know that it is a crane, but I don't know the exact kind. It's a really unique kind of crane that lives in a remote part of the world, is found in a remote part of the world. And this species of bird, when they fly, they automatically squawk. It's a loud, sort of annoying squawking sound that is just organic. It's natural to them. When they fly, it's what they do. The problem with their squawking is that as they fly and as they squawk, they are so loud that they actually draw the attention of predators. So predators can find them and zero in on them. And basically their squawking is like a GPS system that actually sets the sights of their predators on them. So as they're flying and as they're squawking, they're alerting the enemy to where it is that they are. So as these birds mature, as they grow, as they become adult cranes, they actually learn a little trick. They understand that this is actually not working out for their benefit. And even though it's natural for them and organic to them, they realize that it could hurt them. And so they figure out something to do, a strategy. They take a rock. And the mature birds will put a rock in their beak, clamp down over it, so that when they're flying, that's what is natural to them is not what they do on a regular basis. Their mouth now is clamped down over the rock. Now the enemy doesn't know where they are. So many times when I look back on it, the enemy has been able to get his sights on me or bring hurt or harm or danger or temptation into my life, not because he tracked me down on his own. It's because what was coming out of my mouth was alerting him to my location. I was fueling him. I will never forget a mentor saying to me, there is a weapon that the enemy wants to build against you. It will not prosper, but he wants to form that weapon against you. But he doesn't have, this mentor said to me, he doesn't have the equipment that he needs to build that weapon. He gets all that equipment from the words that are coming out of your mouth. It's what you're speaking over your family. It's what you're speaking over your husband. It's what you're speaking over your own life. It's what you're speaking over your finances or over your health. You're actually giving fuel to the fire. And so as we grow, y'all, and as we mature, we need to put a rock in it, the rock of ages. We need to speak of his goodness and his greatness, and we need to declare his promises over ourselves, the people that we love, and the circumstances of our lives. I do this regularly with my boys. I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because I think it's so important, especially now that my boys are becoming men. They think they men already. And so I take advantage these last little moments that I'm having. My oldest is going to be 19 soon. He's headed off to college. I have one more that's in his senior year, and then, or going into his senior year of high school. He'll be headed off next year this time. And then my youngest is in seventh grade, junior high school. And ever since they were very, very little, I would look my boys in their eyes and I would speak God's promises over them. A lot of times I am discouraged even as I'm speaking them, because I'm not seeing that particular quality or that particular promise from God. I'm not seeing that manifested in their decisions or their choices, in their immaturity as they stumble along in life, as we all do. I'm not necessarily seeing the outworking of that. But I refuse, even as I have to speak to them and discipline them and talk with them about the reality of what it is that they're facing, I refuse to let those conversations be the majority of what it is that they hear me talking to them about. I want them to hear what is true about them, regardless of whether or not they're walking in alignment with it or not. Regardless of what they're seeing around them in their friendship groups or not, I want them to know what God says that doesn't change, that cannot be altered, that is true of their identity. So I look at them in their eyes, no matter how they behave that day or today, for example. No matter how they've behaved, I look at them, and a lot of times they kind of roll their eyes because they know what's coming. And I say, let me tell you who you are. You are a man of integrity and character and honesty, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. And you will put on the full armor of God so that you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You are the head. You are not the tail. You are above. You are not beneath. You are a leader. You are not a follower. The Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. So you are a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and you have been made competent by his Spirit to walk in the full expression of who it is that God has called you to be. And I will say that until I have no more breath in my body to my boys, because I want them to know this is what God says. To every sphere of influence that we've been called into, even the ones that right now, honestly, you're a bit discouraged by what you see happening with these people or this place or in this scenario or in this particular instance. And honestly, it doesn't feel like there is any rain to speak of. There has to be someone in the spirit of Elijah who's tuned into divine frequency and can walk into a space and say, but let me tell you, there is a sound you can't hear. And there is a sight that you can't yet see, but it is my joy to be able to tell you what it is that my God is doing. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would give us spiritual discernment. Give us insight and wisdom, Father. Open up our spiritual eyes and open up our spiritual ears so that we can go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and the spirit of Elijah, Father, and then make us courageous enough to speak truth, to know your promises, and whether we are speaking to a child or whether we're speaking to the king of the land, Lord, no matter the layers and levels of power or status or title to whom we speak, make us bold declarers of your promises everywhere we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you feel just blessed tonight. We wanted tonight to be just a great inaugural. My sister, we love Friday night because it's like an inaugural night for the conference that really does start tomorrow, right?
It does. We'll be back here at 9:00 in the morning. to spend 3 hours together. More music.
Yes, you're invited.
Yeah, more word from Dr. Anita Phillips.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And Jan Greenwood.
Jan Greenwood.
She's been a friend of ours for so many years, our family, but also our church. She's spoken for our church many times, so we're so excited to have her. Dr. Anita, it's going to be her first time.
I know.
At our
I
church.
Know.
She's exceptional. You're not going to want to miss that.
They both are. And then our musical guest,
Miranda Curtis, is in the house.
Y'all not ready. Y'all not ready for Miranda.
You're not ready for Miranda.
So we will see you back here tomorrow. If you did not already register for the conference, please do that. Go
yes.
to dfjconference.com because there are some things we want to share with you after this conference is over. And we can only do that if you've registered and we have your email address. In addition to that, I hope that while the conference tonight and tomorrow is a blessing to you, that you realize that this is an outpouring of the ministry of our church, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, in conjunction with the national ministry for my dad and my mom, Dr. Tony and Lois Evans, the Urban Alternative. And the Urban Alternative for decades, along with the church, has been putting out the Word of God. We've been enjoying the Word of God here every Sunday in church. Daddy has faithfully been preaching here
over 40 years. Unbelievable.
And just every Sunday putting out the Word of God.
Yeah.
And then the national ministry takes that word that we're receiving every week and shares it all over the world, on radio stations, on the internet, podcast, and the like. And so our opportunity to share our women's conference with you, Desperate for Jesus, which has also been going on for many years, is because of the ministry, those ministries working in conjunction. We know many of you are probably looking and thinking, okay, wow, how can I be a blessing to this ministry that's been a blessing to me? And I'd like to tell you how you can do that.
Yeah.
If you are led to give a gift of any amount that would go to furthering both of these ministries locally and throughout the rest of the world, if any gift of any amount, we're going to send you a DFJ bag that has some prayer cards in it. The theme of this conference is The Promise. And we want you to be able to take those cards and remind yourself, meditate on, refresh your thoughts about what God has promised in His Word for you. The promises of God are there for you, but you have to know what they are.
Yeah.
And so we'd like to send those to you again for a gift of any amount. If you're led to give $50 or more, then what we'd like to add to that bag for you is an Elijah study guide, because there's this girl that I know named Priscilla Shire. Anybody heard of Priscilla Shire? Who has written many Bible studies over the years, but Elijah is your most recent Bible study.
Yes.
And we'd love to share that with you.
Yes.
Yeah. We'd love to share that with you. And in addition to that, give you access to the virtual teaching so that you can have more of Priscilla teaching the Word of God and you can follow along and dig into God's Word. So in advance, for those of you who are led to give, we want to say thank you. It's our joy and our privilege to share our women's conference with you, and we are grateful in advance for how you give for the furthering of both of these ministries. So without further ado, we want you to get a good night's sleep.
You need a good night's sleep.
Because you need to be ready to worship, praise, and enjoy the Word with us tomorrow.
See you soon.